This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Attitude is laugh all you want, general public. I find Lorde's attitude to be refreshing. I think she's a breath of fresh air in the music industry. And all these people are saying, oh, consumerism's great, like we love consumerism. What if it's not so great?
I disagree.
Hey, what up, what up? It's Hollywood Handbook. I'm Hayes. I'm here with Sean.
We come to you with heavy hearts this week.
We do. This is a difficult podcast to do. Not the least of which that we had to get a last second replacement for our guest, which will, this is sort of related.
Yeah. We were supposed to be doing an episode called Our Close Friend Lewis Reed. Lewis Reed sang with the Velvet Underground Men, and he also did some solo stuff that a lot of people don't know about. He was a musician, musical guy.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think, just to dispel sort of a myth about this city, is that it is all movies, all TV. The last 5 or 6 years, music has actually been making big inroads in LA. It's becoming a big part of the culture here. And Sean and I try and keep tabs on
that
stuff.
I was at a party 2 weeks ago where there was music playing almost the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I only wish that Lewis could have been here to see it. Some people heard about his passing and put posts on Facebook, Twitter, universe. And it kind of pissed me off because they didn't know Lewis like we did.
It made it seem like they thought their relationship to Lewis was more important than the people who actually knew him, who actually could be sad about this, who would actually hurt more than anyone else.
Who were truly grieving. So,
They're trying to take ownership of Lou Reed's death when really it's not theirs, it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
You have some story. We both have stories about. What's your favorite story about Lewis?
Well, I remember, my 10th birthday party, disco theme, and most of the people have left, but Lewis, he's always late. He comes walking in, and I say, well, Lewis, the party's basically over. And he says, is it? And I go, no, not when you're around, bud. Mm-hmm. We splash around in the pool a little bit. We spin the disco ball, and then we took a walk, we drank sangria in the park, we wound up going feeding some animals at the zoo, and he turned to me and he was like, Sean, this has just been the most perfect day. And I said, make that a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picked up a guitar and he just started going, and he was going, hell is who my way, and I'm saying, hell is who is hey. And I said, Lewis, stop it. Stop it, Lewis. What are you saying? What are you singing? And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you want to sing about? And he said, well, I guess that I just don't know. And I said, then tell us that. I said, then tell us about that. Sing to us about that. And then, I don't know what he did, but I shut up and I fell asleep.
I think my relationship with Lewis, he was a genius and he was so influential.
Big genius.
To my comedy and just sort of, and I think that worked both ways in our relationship. We would see what the other one was doing and just kind of feed off it. And I think what he most appreciated about me was I did not really care for his music and never really thought it was good, and he needed someone like that. He was always surrounded by yes men. And so he, you know, he would come to me. I remember one day he came and said, Hayes, I don't know what to do music about. Like, what do I do music about today? And he's like, he's got Warhol in his ear saying to do songs about fucking like Burger King and, you know, Audrey Hepburn or whatever. And I said, Lou, do songs about heroin. Sing about heroin. And he's like, well, I've never done heroin. It seems really scary.
Like, seemed scary to him. Yeah, he refused to do it.
I've never done it. And I was like, who fucking cares? Lou, no one who's listening to your songs has done it either. Like,
no, his fans were a lot of pussies. They didn't have the balls to do heroin.
They want to listen to your songs to have, to feel cool and to have, like, a cool relationship with drugs. Like, that's the closest they're ever going to get. So give them that. And he was, and like, that's great. I will do that. They should be really sad, right? I was like, no, make them, like, sort of upbeat and happy. Like, it's about a sad subject, but you're doing a happy song. And he did, that was, I introduced him to Nico, and he did that album, and I still didn't really care for it, but I think he valued my input a lot, and it was not a commercial success.
And you also told him that New York City was a cool city, right?
Yeah, I said he should probably, at the time, he was living in Orlando, and he was sort of trying to get the artistic community going there. And I said, Lou, this is probably not a great venture for you. Go to New York. We talked about this on the forums a little bit recently. New York, in some of the movies I'd seen, is like a character in itself.
It can be a character in some of the movies that it's in.
And so I said, Lou, go to New York. Get to know this character. I refer to it as a she. And she's a great town.
Yeah, but also, she can be a little bit of a B word. If you know what I mean. And I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but if you've lived there, and I have lived there.
Right. And my thing with New York that I always tell Lou is, if you can make it there, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And so he went to New York. He sang some songs about what he imagined heroin to be like. And
I say this about New York. I say, mm-hmm. If you can make it there, congratulations. Now go to L.A.
He always regretted, I think, not having been a bigger commercial success. And that's what is so sad about his death for me. The thing that I think is most lamentable about his death is that he never did make that much money.
Yeah, it's sad that he didn't have that very much money, and that he wasn't a literal commercial success, because he had written a lot of jingles for products.
Mm-hmm.
That he was very proud of, and mm-hmm. that they shot down.
Mm-hmm.
He had that great Little Caesar's Pizza song that he worked forever on.
Yeah,
that I thought was some of his best stuff.
How did that go?
It went, hot and cheesy pie, munch it with your mouth, garlic nuts and sauce. And I thought, this is the best fucking thing you've ever written, Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do like this. And maybe I steered him wrong, because he basically only played that mm-hmm. for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I wish I could say rest in peace, but I know he won't.
Yeah, I know. I know he's frustrated.
I know his spirit is restless because he...
I know that he's very frustrated.
But... since Lou couldn't be here today, we did manage. We have sort of a standby.
Got a fill-in.
Guest. Paul F. Tompkins is here. He has a new show. He has a stand-up. We're going to ask him a few questions about that.
Yeah, I've got some questions about stand-up I need answered. Mm-hmm.
That's a little later on Hollywood Handbook.
Punch the one cop in the stomach, and I go, that's for Jessica Biel. And then I punch the other one right in the neck, and I go, and that's for me. And Justin Timberlake started crying.
Hey, what up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook. It's a feature we really like to do. And it is really amazing how this phrase has entered the public consciousness. It's something that people did not...
No one had said it, and now everyone's saying
now
it.
Now it's on everyone's
Which
list.
Is a little bit of what we're going to talk about with this teaser.
Yes. You know what it is.
You know where we
y'all
are.
Know
we're in the teaser freezer. Y'all know what time it is.
It's time for the teaser freezer. Let's open it up. This is a very, very hot steaming teaser going around. We had to put it in the freezer for a little while just to cool it down.
To even be able to handle it, we had to put it in the freezer for a couple of days.
It's the teaser for That Awkward Moment, starring Zac Efron, Michael Jordan, Miles Teller.
These three studs are gallivanting around the town and having adventures. And I guess, do you want to talk about our issue with it first, or do you want to play some of it?
Sure. I think that's a good way to start. Little lesson on life in Hollywood.
Yeah, a hard lesson that we had to learn, and this is just, it's coming back to haunt us once again. Hayes and I are very funny, fun party guests.
Mm-hmm.
People like to talk to us, and we like to tell all kinds of stories of our misadventures that we have in this town.
We sort of set up shop, usually in one corner of the room.
Yeah, and pretty soon you can see... the entire party is gathered around that one corner.
It's sort of gathered around.
And the snack table's empty.
And we dish and we spin our tails and...
Yeah,
you
we've
know,
got our patter worked out. I'll throw to him and he starts weaving a yarn and then I'll grab the, you know, proverbial microphone.
And it's fun for us too, because sometimes when this stuff happens to you, you just got to think like, well, it's a good story.
At least it's a story.
Yeah.
And so... Whatever. We're happy to do it. We're happy to actually make the party fun for people who don't know how to fucking talk to anyone like we do and aren't actually socially cool. And so we do that. But what you find out when you live here is the walls have ears.
The walls have ears, and they've also got pens, and they're writing down a lot of the funny stuff that you say.
The pens write down what the ears hear of the walls, and and we mean people.
Yep. And this is an example of some of these movies that are coming out right now that are stolen from our party stories, which we always say at the beginning of the stories, hey, these are free. Gather around. Doesn't cost anything. These stories are free.
We shouldn't say it anymore because people are making a buttload of money off them. Almost everything that happens in this teaser happened to me and Hayes.
Let's play the teaser for That Awkward Moment.
So, it's Ellie.
Are you serious? This is a den of testosterone. You can't invite a girl to a place like this.
Well, I'm gonna buzz her in.
She's not gonna talk about Xbox. I'm gonna be sitting here being like, oh, I have to fart, but maybe I can't right now. She better have some hot friends. Open the door. I don't care. I'm getting wasted.
So, just quickly, it's sort of based on our patter. Like, the basic relationship between these guys is sort of based on how you and I interact, busting each other's bees and...
Yeah, and never really letting each other off the hook.
Yes.
And one time I actually did have a girl come up into our apartment that we shared at the time. Beautiful penthouse overlooking the ocean. And she came up and Hayes tried to talk to her about Xbox. And then he asked if he could fart.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've changed it a little bit.
In my defense, I was pretty wasted.
Oh, I was pretty wasted. Yeah. No news there.
Is that ice cream?
Yeah, it's peanut butter chocolate.
Give me the ice cream.
No, I need it. My girl broke up with me.
What are you, Bridget Jones? Give me the ice cream.
Back up, little man.
Give me the ice cream.
Come on, yes, ice cream. We're going out.
And we say stuff like that. We say, like, what are you, like, Hermione? Like, we'll call each other famous girls all the time.
Yeah, we do that. Anytime Hayes is doing... When Hayes is...
Brittany Murphy.
Not being a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sean will call me a famous girl.
Yeah. I'll go, oh, geez, what are you, Laura Linney?
Mm-hmm. What are you, Susan Sarandon?
If you're single, we're staying single with you, man.
All right. Hey, you guys want a mint?
That's a weird mint, dude.
It's because it's a boner pill. You got 4 hours to drink like Keith Richards, still get funky.
Okay, now let's... Okay, now this is one of our classic party tales. Sean and I once when we made a pact to all be single together with our friend Michael Jordan. This is played by Michael B. Jordan in this movie, but in our version, it was Michael Regular Jordan.
Michael Regular Jordan of the Washington Wizards.
We all went out together. Michael Regular Jordan offered us a couple of mints. A
couple of mints, and I am always ready to have fresh breath.
They tasted a little weird.
And I said it. I said, it's a weird tasting mint, Michael Jordan, Regular Jordan.
Because it turned out that they was boner pills.
And here's something people might not know, is when you take something that was boner pills, you get a major, massive boner.
And it will not go away.
It doesn't go away. And if you're built like me and Hayes, it's pretty uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. If you're built like us, they talk about the double-edged sword. Well, how about the double-edged spiked club?
How about the double-edged pork sword?
I'm still not going to do that. I was going to make you wait like 40 days.
I was going to make you wait too, then to realize I'm a dude.
That didn't change at all. That's Yes. That's my line.
We're not supposed to see him more than twice in 1 week. And you're seeing this chick twice in 1 day.
What's the deal with you and Chelsea?
Now, this is a comedy about the funny problems that a lot of us have, which is not being able to stop fucking.
Yeah, you make a promise to all be single with each other, but every girl you see wants to fuck you and then wants to be in a relationship.
Just do it all
you.
The time.
Yeah.
Like, when really, you made a promise to your friends to only do it with them a few times.
Yeah.
And then to stop doing it.
Yeah, and to certainly, and we had all kinds of rules, and I feel like they might have stolen the actual notebook we had where we wrote down mm-hmm. the rules, because mm-hmm. one of them was, don't see a girl twice in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And Hayes actually saw one twice in 1 day.
Mm-hmm. We did it twice in 1 day.
And the other rule was, what's the deal with Chelsea?
What the?
Hey, it doesn't mean what you think it means.
It doesn't?
Oh, what does our relationship mean to you then?
Wait, you guys are in a relationship?
I will say I like that some of my problems with hard comedies in the past have been... Oh, that came out wrong.
Oh, no.
We'll get that. Some of my problems with straight-up comedies in the past...
Okay. You can't stop.
It came out wrong again.
Nowhere safe.
Some of my problems with just regular comedies in the past have been that the guys in them are not that hot.
It's not realistic because the things that are happening to these guys and how funny these guys are and how cool... That doesn't happen to people who look the way a lot of the comedy actors look.
Yeah. Like, when I watch, like, Mr. Bean, he's, like, doing his whole thing, and I'm being like, I guess this is sort of funny, but, like, his body is, like, trash.
There's nothing funny about being disgusted. And I'm so disgusted when I see some of the freak weirdos out there,
mm-hmm.
your comedy stars, like Ben Stiller's very ugly.
Yeah.
Bill
Murray is old.
Like he's too old.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be allowed to be on the same screen with a woman. If anything, he could do voiceover maybe. But there's not enough hot, sexy studs. And and especially with this movie, the people this is really happening to
mm-hmm.
are built in a particular way.
Yes.
That...
They've... been graced with.
Yeah.
sort of blessed with a certain feature.
I love the way she laughs.
I love the way we fit together in bed because we're the same height. Our crotches line up perfectly.
That's really good.
I love that.
I love that.
Yeah, even. Man.
So run and tell her that.
All right, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
Man, you're doing it.
Dude.
And then he got hit by a taxi cab, which happened to Michael Regular Jordan.
And then he went, and that's why he started playing baseball for a little while.
Brett,
Do you not get our emails?
Tell me that wasn't what I think that was.
Do I have the wrong email for you?
Brett, it's just Brett at Earwolf. That was a sneeze. I had to sneeze.
Okay, because that's what I've been sending it to, and You're not behaving as if you've read them.
I can't sneeze.
That's right. That's what the email said. You can't sneeze.
And if you're gonna sneeze, do it when we're sort of like building our rhythm. You know what I mean? Not when like, not when we've like actually gotten there, when we're like hitting the crescendo,
when we're peaking
of a segment. When you sneeze like that, it all falls down, Brett. It all falls down.
Brett, if you feel a sneeze coming on, okay, text one of the other engineers to come in and sub. Wait for them to arrive. Get up, pass the headphones. Don't speak, obviously. Walk outside, go down the hall, go down the elevator, go outside, and sneeze in your car. I mean, I don't think that's too much to ask.
And
you, I'm not saying you can't sneeze. Obviously, physically, sometimes people have to. But show a little bit of self-control.
And we really do appreciate everything you do, Brett. And it's only because you set such a high standard that when you do something awful like that, it hurts.
You did it to yourself.
And it hurts the show.
And it hurts the show.
We're going to be right back. That's the teaser freezer. I don't see any...
No graceful way out of it.
We're done. We're done. We're going to be right back on Hollywood Handbook.
Hey guys, so we just fired engineer Brett. You know why. We were able to get engineer Cody to fill in at the last minute to cover our guest segment, so we'll be with engineer Cody for the Paul F. Tompkins interview. Not a huge upgrade, but an upgrade nonetheless, we hope. So we're going to come back to the show with Cody, not Brett, because Brett doesn't listen so good, does he? So I just looked him dead in the eye, and I go, Clive, Owen, you want to go back to doing theater, pal? Be my guest. And it's your funeral. And I dropped the flowers, and I slammed the door.
Did he come after you?
He wasn't brave enough. Hollywood Handbook. What up, what up?
Hey, what up, what up? Welcome back to Hollywood Handbook and Insider's Guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We've got a very exciting guest today. As we said earlier, this was going to be an episode with our close friend Lewis Reed, but he was
very, yeah, unfortunately,
tragically not able to make the show. We've also been very excited for this guest as well. Paul F. Tompkins is here.
Hi, guys.
Paul, do you want to share any Lewis Reed memories?
I'm not sure I know who Lewis Reed is. I'm sorry.
That was, you probably know him as Lou Reed. Lewis was his real name.
Oh, I see.
And among like his some of his really close friends.
We called him that.
I'd never met him, but I don't really have any memories of him personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly the music obviously was meant a lot to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as it did to most people.
Sure.
Yeah, the people who knew about him. Yeah.
Well, he's pretty famous. I mean, people knew about him.
Right. Some people knew about him. Some people knew him. It doesn't matter who knew what.
One is not better than the other.
Who was his real friend and who just heard his music and
one's more important, I guess.
And sort of thought they knew him. It doesn't matter which one is more important. One is, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Doesn't matter which one.
Which one?
Ours or yours.
Yes.
Certainly
Lou's gone and we were friends with him and that's all that matters.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now
Lewis
we
would love to hear you say that. Go ahead. What's up?
Paul, you and the two of us, we go a long, long way back.
Yeah.
Starting off, when was it that we first met Paul?
Well,
was
we
it
were
back on the early day of the show or
we were all part of that. Sort of booming Honolulu comedy scene.
That's right,
scene.
Yes. Yeah. The Honolulu comedy scene when we were all kind of struggling and...
Which I hear is having a resurgence, by the way.
Yes.
Well, it makes sense. These things are cyclical and we always say that about the business.
I hear
know?
That the club opened back up.
And you see, mm-hmm. It is amazing. Like, the whole surf comedy genre that we were there at the beginning mm-hmm. of is so big now and so many of the sketch people that we were there with have now gone on
absolutely
to do like who was there in the in our sketch? What was our sketch group's name?
We ours?
Coconuts and
Coconuts and Jokes Go Nuts.
Jokes Go Nuts. Coconuts
and Jokes Go Nuts. Yes, and right. we would say, yeah. We would give everyone in the audience a fresh coconut to drink from, yeah. And we go, and now it's time for jokes. Go nuts.
Yes.
And they'd go nuts with laughter. And how many of those sketches started interior pig roast?
Yes.
You remember?
All of them.
Yeah. One set.
Every single one.
The biggest
variation I remember was that sometimes the pig roast would be indoors. They would be set indoors, and then the scene would end with everyone dying of asphyxiation.
Yes, that was a big part of the joke. Interior right. Pig roast was sometimes the entire sketch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in us introducing
that. Because all the smoke, yeah.
But that is the Hawaiian style of improv, is mm-hmm. that people yell out their suggestions as if they're locations in a film script.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's sort of in the same way that aloha means hello yeah. and goodbye.
And it's like people would yell out, medium, and then we would have to move slightly closer on the stage to the audience. They would yell out, close up, and then we would have to get in, yes. like,
get
right
up
faces.
Against them. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a very savvy audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very savvy. Very film-savvy audience yes. in the Honolulu comedy scene.
Mm-hmm. I remember Denitra Vance was there when we were there. David Wayne mm-hmm. started out there in that sort of sketch scene.
He started that, I think.
Mark
I remember
McKinney.
Taylor Kitsch mm-hmm. actually played a baby in a lot of our sketches.
Yes, he did.
And
he
we'd
did.
Go, wait, are we roasting a pig or a baby?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd switch them back and forth. And the audience would go nuts.
They would go
jokes go
the
nuts.
The jokes go nuts, and then the audience yeah. would go nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, anytime there was a scene at a pig roast that called for a baby, Taylor would jump in there. And otherwise, kind of a timid performer.
Quiet, yeah. Didn't improv. Think he yeah. would make it, and he sort of didn't.
But he didn't. He
yeah.
didn't. But as a baby on stage, he would tear it up. It
yeah.
was amazing.
He had that
Nobody
thing.
Was better.
A lot of poi being passed around backstage in those days. I don't think we really knew at the time some of the risks. We were just trying. We were having fun. We were young and just like
yeah.
partying and having fun and stuff. And
yeah, yeah.
It's not the same there anymore.
Huff and poi, but
But anyway, so we sort of knew you tangentially there, mm-hmm. and then we wound up being involved in an early incarnation of what was originally the Mr. Show,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Where we were gonna just play Broken Wings for like 45 minutes every
yes.
week.
The song mm-hmm. Broken Wings.
Yeah, and then that incubated.
And Hold the Line, which at the time we thought was a Mr. song, but then we got a network note that it wasn't a Mr. song, but
yeah.
then we did keep doing it.
Yeah. What was the exec that gave us that note?
I want to say
was it
Warren Littlefield?
Was it Littlefield? I was going to say Lauren Correa.
Oh, okay.
But at any rate, that incubated for a little while, and then it became Mr. Show with Bob and Sean
mm-hmm.
and Hayes.
And Hayes and Paul.
Right. And Paul.
And David.
And Dion.
And Dion, that's right.
So it was yes. It was shortened to Mr. Show, mm-hmm. but then so first it was Mr. Show.
Yeah.
Then it was Mr. Show with Bob and Sean.
And Paul.
And Paul. And Hayes.
And David.
And David. And Dion. Dion.
And Dion. Yeah. Dion Sanders.
Dion Sanders, yeah. yeah. Neon Dion.
Who was hilarious.
Yep, triple threat. True yeah. triple threat.
Yeah. He can do football.
Baseball
and comedy.
And sketch
Deadpan
comedy.
Deadpan is sort of what
Deadpan,
I consider.
Deadpan, sketch comedy.
Yes.
That's right.
And then just through scheduling, we wound up going to do our own thing with Dion, and that became SNL.
That's right.
And that show was, yeah, the show, what was the show called before it was SNL?
Well, it was called the Primetime Players because that was one of Dion's nicknames.
Right. He was ready. He mm-hmm. was ready for primetime.
Yeah,
the ready for primetime players.
Yes, yeah. That's right. And Paul, you went on to be on, frankly, the greatest sketch show of all time.
Kelsey Grammer
a lot
presents
of people.
The
Kelsey
sketch
Grammer
show.
Presents
that's
the sketch
right.
show.
That's right.
I had a feeling
exactly
you
right.
guys were going to say that. And yeah, I mean, like, certainly people have mixed opinions about it. But,
well, that's how you know you're doing something good.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I mean, Absolutely. I feel like if everybody's on board with it, then you're doing something wrong because there's a lot of dumb people. You know what I mean? There's a lot of dumb people in the world. And so if everybody likes a thing, if everybody's just in lockstep, this is the greatest, then, you know, I would even go so far as to say if most people don't like it, it's probably better.
Then that's probably good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's and take that one-star iTunes reviews.
Yeah. What are you even doing reviewing Kelsey Grammer Presents the Sketch Show? It's not on iTunes.
Speak on learning from KG and what it was like kind of drafting in his wake.
Yeah, I'll speak on that. There was something about the way Kelsey Grammer approached sketch. I would look at that and I would say, okay, if I were to do what he does, what do I do? First, be on two hit TV shows that have run for a total of 40 years. Be internationally famous and hugely wealthy. And so I try to get in that mindset, And then I would do the sketch, and I would wait for someone to say cut, and then I would look up, and I would realize no one is paying attention.
Yeah.
And which was great because I felt I can be creative.
Yeah.
You know, it's like dance like nobody's watching.
What a freedom. Yes. Yeah, what a freedom.
It's perform sketch comedy when no one's paying attention.
Make a TV show like nobody's watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And thankfully for us, no one did watch it. So I consider that to be a major success, major success for me. And I mean, I know you guys got your thing going on and that's great, but I feel like, you know, I've done pretty well for myself.
I would say so. We're not going to.
We talk about that. We say sometimes like, you know what? Paul actually has done pretty well. We say like that. And that's sort of the pitch.
That's a whole brunch.
That's sort
sometimes.
Of the pitch. That
that's
we
a
take.
Whole brunch.
You know
for
what?
Us.
You know what?
You know what?
Paul,
as a matter of fact, he actually did pretty well.
He actually did pretty well.
He actually did pretty well. And we'll say that.
Here's what I like about that. I loved your delighted surprise.
Yeah.
That I guess you could read it that you didn't expect me to do well. But the fact that you seem pleased by how well I've done,
yeah,
that's nothing but positive, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So,
we had some questions, I guess. We're all podcasters here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. It's true.
You're a podcaster. We're podcasters.
So we're all podcasters here.
I sometimes find that listeners are trying to break into this aspect of entertainment just as much as movies and TV, sometimes more.
Do you know why? Because we make it look easy.
That's right.
That's why.
I think that's exactly right. They say, I can do that. When in reality, you can try that.
You're welcome to. You're certainly welcome to.
It's free to try.
Have at it.
Ain't no law against it.
But don't come crying to Papa Bear's 1, 2, and 3 when you got to run back home with your tail between your legs.
right.
Butt piddle Kansas.
Which number Papa Bear am I?
In my mind.
I think you're tied.
Yeah, I think you're tied for 2.
Yeah.
With engineer Cody.
Yes. Oh, I thought that was obvious, yeah.
So then you guys are Papa Bear number 1 together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're both Papa Bear number 1.
Okay. All right. Top 2. I'm in the top 2. With engineer Cody, of course.
Mm. Just talking cast business.
CB?
Yes. Who's your podcasting agent?
Oh, I'm with, who is it now since the merger? You know how William Morris merged with Endeavor?
Yeah, WME, yeah.
It's the people that weren't told about they said, we're going to form our own thing.
Oh, yeah, Verve?
Yeah, I'm with Verve.
That's good.
That's a good podcasting
show. Who are you guys with?
Well, this is a bone of contention because Hayes wants me to come over to his guys. He wants me to be with his 10%ery.
Yes. I'm currently with CAA Sports, a fellow named Leon Rose, who reps LBJ, CP3, some of those fellows.
Mm-hmm. LBJ?
Yeah, that's what we call LeBron James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was
capital L, lowercase e, capital B, lowercase Ron, capital J, lowercase Ames. That's another thing we call him. And
the other one's shorter.
Where it's starting to become clear that this is really a sport like any other. It's a competitive
show business.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Listen, I'm glad you said that, Hayes, because what I try to do with comedy mm-hmm. is bring to it aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aggression, the desire to crush. Well, my
to win
opponent,
at all costs.
To win at all costs.
Yes.
And that's,
and glory. I just want glory. Mm-hmm. I just want to be glorified. Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. exactly why I don't want to share an agent. That's why I'm sticking with Jay-Z. Because I just feel like he has that hunger, you know? And he has that that drive in him. He loves mm-hmm. to win. And comedy is about winning mainly.
Mm-hmm. What else is it about?
Right.
Yeah. I guess
what else
really
is comedy
else.
About? It's about winning.
Surprise.
It's also about surprises.
Oh, I thought you meant surprise. It's all about winning.
No, comedy is also about surprise.
Comedy is about winning, and then the only other element is that it is just purely surprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nothing funny that's not surprising, and there's nothing surprising that's not funny.
If there's one thing that comedy is about, it's about winning and surprise.
Yeah, and that's the
that's
one
it.
Thing.
That's the one thing.
This is so good for our listeners. Now, I had another question about comedy for you because you're in the stand-up game.
Yeah, that's right. Stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hayes and I don't do it. We don't know it from Adam.
We dipped our toes in. We did Premium Blend and like just sort of the – it's basically an open mic at this point, am I right?
As a fucking jerk-off, we
yes,
did that.
Yes.
We crushed. We totally crushed.
But we do still have a lot of questions about it.
Did that air –
our Premium Blend?
Yeah.
I think you have to buy it special. Like
it's
I
like
think
a sort of album only, like you buy the season.
Yeah, I think they just felt like iTunes. They would sell a lot more Premium Blend if they held that one back.
Right.
So, no, it didn't air. But we had a question that I'm sure you have gotten before. What is the difference between stand-up and just a funny movie?
You know, I have gotten that before, and I have never really been able to answer it. And I will usually just say, "Let's skip that one." Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is being recorded in a microphone, so I can't do that in this instance. Mm-hmm. And I'll. What's the difference between stand-up and a really funny movie?
Because for me,
you do a lot of letter interviews.
They're all handwritten letters.
Snail
it's all
mail
handwritten correspondence.
Yeah.
Snail mail, SMC. And because I feel like I want to be thoughtful in my answers, and I feel that I will be more thoughtful if I have to actually put pen to paper mm-hmm. and remember how to write in cursive, which I'll be honest, it eludes me 99% of the time, and it's just a mess. And then there's a phone call from you know, whatever publication it is saying, I couldn't make heads or tails out of this chicken scratch. And then I'll have to write it again. Really, really, really concentrate.
Very relatable.
Yeah. This is probably a little inside baseball. What's the difference between stand-up and a funny movie? I would say probably that there's just more funny movies than there are funny stand-ups, you know?
Uh-huh.
If you look at the state of film comedy in the last, especially the last 10 years, can you think of a comedy that's come out that hasn't been hilarious? Mm-hmm. Can you think of a single one?
Oof.
Mm-hmm. It's a trick question. You can't because they're –
I don't feel like I got Fruitvale Station, but I don't think that means it wasn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I didn't get it.
Letters from Iwo Jima. That was actually pretty funny. There were parts of that.
And now that I'm looking back at Fruitvale Station, I was cracking my whole shit up, and I did laugh my butt off for a lot of that.
It is that movie is choke on your popcorn funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because a lot of surprises happen.
A lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
What we've already established the rules about comedy. There, it's about winning and surprises. That's the one thing.
That was a trick question then, because that.
So it's a quantity issue, you're saying.
Well,
quantity of quality.
I'm just saying that I think it's very rare that a stand-up comedian is funny, and I think it's all too common that a comedy movie is hilarious.
Too many funny movies, yes. Too many funny movies. Other than that, they are the same thing.
Yeah, the same experience, yeah.
You're paying down.
You're paying money for someone to make you laugh, right?
Pay money, sit down, and you get surprised.
That's how
we get
and you sit down.
Sit down.
You sit down.
There is
and
some
you drink
sort of,
two beers.
That's right. There's some sort of food or beverage being served.
You get
for me,
a pair
it's two
of,
beers.
You get a pair of brewskis, and then you get surprised into laughing.
That's right. Yeah,
I bring them in my secret backpack.
That's right.
All the things.
Now, it's the backpack that's itself a secret, right?
Oh, yeah. The beers are...
No one knows you have a backpack.
Everyone knows I have the beers.
They can hear those beers clanking around.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And you say, I have two beers.
I drink them both
somewhere.
At once with one hand.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of clink as they go hand to mouth.
Because it's hard to manage. That's hard to manage.
Yes.
So there's a lot of clinking.
But
no one knows where that backpack
is. No one knows where it is.
Mm-mm.
They think they're going to get it out of me on this, trick it out of me on this podcast. I got another thing coming.
Oh,
can I tell you? I was kind of trying to
I know
to do
you
that.
Were.
I was.
I know you were.
You're too fast for
me. I am. How are things casting wise? How's it going, Internash?
You know, I'll be honest, it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the last. I did perform in London earlier
this
year.
That's right. You did a Nashcast.
I did a Nashcast. And it went pretty well. It went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could have done better, and I think that I could have done better.
Speak on that.
Well, I didn't do very well. And
what happened?
Yeah,
I don't feel like I surprised the audience as much as I.
They saw some
could
of
have
stuff
or should
coming.
Have. They saw all of it coming, frankly.
Yeah.
And it was this is humiliating, and you guys probably have not experienced this. It got to the point where they saw everything coming that I was going to say, to where I would get to the funny surprise part, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know how when you've seen stand-up comedy and there's the
Hayes has, I have not.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You should see, you know what? You should I was going to say you would like it, but you might not like it. I can't think of a single person to recommend. But for the uninitiated, there's like a part at the beginning where you're saying boring things, like just boring things that anybody could say.
Right.
And then that's all in service of the surprise part
that
comes and then tricks the audience into laughing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So when I would do the boring part, and then when I would open my mouth to get to the surprise part, the audience would say it in unison with me, word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And, okay, if that happens once, you can shake it off and say, all right, you know, that's bound to happen to everyone sooner or later.
Yeah.
But for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Every single punchline.
Every punchline, yes, thank you. The term escaped me. Every single punchline. They were saying with me in unison.
Mm. Hmm.
And this was all new material. I'd never done it before.
Oh, wow.
Can I tell you something, Paul?
Sure.
That's not you. Because in London, ever since the Blitz, good luck surprising those people with your comedy.
Oh.
They're ready for just about anything.
You know what? I hadn't considered
you hadn't
that.
Thought about that,
no,
had
I
you?
Hadn't.
Well, and
I
that's
hadn't.
Why there's no British comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
They said, never again will we be surprised.
Yeah. And life's too serious.
Yes.
You know
stiff
how we...
upper lip and all that in it.
Keep calm and stop clowning around.
Yeah. Keep clowning. Quit goofing, would you? The Blitz happened to us. And so I think that's why.
I have one of those posters.
Mm-hmm. Everyone does.
Says, I got a mug.
Keep clowning, quit goofing. The Blitz happened to us.
Yeah. And I got one that says, keep calm and put a bird on it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Because Portlandia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bought it from the IFC store.
I have a baby tee that says, keep calm and cracked on, like from the website Cracked. Let's consult the popcorn gallery.
Yeah, let's dip into the popcorn gallery. Let's dip into the popcorn gallery, please.
This is a feature we like to do where...
You don't have to tell me. Of course I know.
Yeah, we explain it for...
We're telling
some of
engineer
the
Oh,
coders.
Oh, I'm yeah. sorry. I'm sorry.
Engineer Cody.
Please, pray, continue.
Some normal people don't have a direct line to celebrities like we do. We mm-hmm. provide a liaison to connect fans with some of their heroes. And that's what we're doing today. We reach into the popcorn bag.
Oh, no.
And we pull out a question from our listener, Aztec. And he has a question for Paul F. Tompkins. And it is, what's it like living with the voices of all those characters upstairs?
This is like London all over again, because how does this guy know that I'm constantly hearing a conversation of almost a dozen characters all talking to each other?
Well, I think he's seen the show Herman's Head.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Herman's and if you'll recall, for anyone who's doesn't know, Herman's Head was loosely based on Paul F. Tompkins' mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guy, you see him walking around, then they cut to inside his head, and a bunch of characters are sort of fighting.
Yeah, they're all talking at the same time.
One might be a real typical dude, and he loves sports.
Mm-hmm. And that he represented, like, the comedy aspect, because he just wanted to win.
Yes.
And he wanted to surprise people.
Mm-hmm. And then one might be an uptight broad.
And she represented, what was it? Greed?
Yeah, she was greed. Each one of them was one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
Comedy, greed, eating too much.
Weather.
Yeah.
And fear.
All seven. What a sin it is to be afraid.
Yeah.
When I see people with fear in their eyes, or I smell it on them like a dog.
Mm.
How dare you?
Oh, it makes my blood boil.
Well, they deserve what's coming for them.
It fills me with wrath.
Boy, they deserve what's coming for them.
Yeah.
And wrath is righteous. Yeah. Now, so that was a good question from the popcorn gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we asked it. But I have another one, too. And I'm going to...
Oh, we're still touring the popcorn gallery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, did
We've
you need this out again?
Many more questions from no, the popcorn
well,
gallery.
I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Oh, yummy.
I have one from Skizolo.
Yes.
Okay. Skizolo asks, it's a two-part question.
Oh.
First part, what does the F stand for?
Mm-hmm.
Second part, and have you considered changing it to fuck machine?
Have you considered changing it to fuck machine?
Well, it's funny, and I know Hayes is laughing because he knows the answer to both questions.
Yes.
Second part, no, I haven't considered changing it to fuck machine.
Because?
It is fuck machine.
Yes.
It's a family name.
Let me Wikipedia that for you, Skizolo.
It's a family name. And my grandfather was a fuck machinist, and he died of fuck lung. Which is what they call it when a Pinkerton detective clubs you to death.
That's fuck
That's
lung.
Right.
And then he shoves a piece of rebar through your lung.
He fucks your lung with a piece of rebar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. And so, you know, I mean, obviously this podcast is educational.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you Hollywood insider knowledge, but
is
also
it,
a little bit of history.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit of Hollywood history.
So it's infotational, educational.
And just plain sensational.
Informational,
oh,
sensational,
yeah.
Confrontational,
mm-hmm.
International.
Mm-hmm. International, I think is how that
international.
Is.
I do apologize.
One more question.
From
the popcorn
oh,
gallery.
Oh, from the popcorn gallery.
From the popcorn gallery.
Hey, what's this? Oh, yeah, it's just a kernel.
This one's from Octodoctopus. This is a great new...
A new
forum
commenter, and we thought we knew everyone on there, but this guy took the forum by storm this week.
Yeah, we're really impressed.
I love his name. I love his avatar.
Nowhere.
What he's got going on, I want more of it.
He asks Paul F. Tompkins, how did you stay in the funny zone when you were acting in scenes with Emmanuel Day Lewis?
Ooh. When I was working with E-Day, it was rough because he can make you with a cock of an eyebrow. Make you burst into tears. With the curl of his lip, he can make you feel fear like you have never felt before. Unless you've almost drowned to death. It's very specific. With a wave of his hand, he can make you believe you've never existed. And that you're the dream of a weird giant in another dimension.
And then when the giant wakes up, you fall asleep. And then when you fall back asleep.
That's right.
And then when the giant falls back asleep, you wake up again.
Yeah. I mean, I would try to imitate that hand wave, but I don't want to do that to you guys. Emmanuel Day Lewis is a national, not treasure, but a jackpot. Like we won, you know? It's like America put a gigantic coin, like you'd see in Batman's cave, into an even more gigantic slot machine.
Like you'd see in Batman's casino.
Yeah, exactly. Then all of America got together, stood on each other's shoulders so that somebody could get up there, pull that lever, and then ching, 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 here's what it comes up. Three smiley faces. Out of that slot pours what? A bunch of dumb giant coins? No. Little teeny tiny Emmanuel Day Lewis, our greatest actor and the inventor of Webster's Dictionary.
But how did you stay in the funny zone, Paul?
Yeah, how'd you stay in the funny zone?
I pinched my leg.
Okay. That keeps you there.
Okay.
A little trick. Yeah.
Camera couldn't see it, but I would pinch my leg.
Good trick. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul.
Hayes.
Thank you so much.
It's I who should be thanking you.
Okay.
Do you know a funny story?
Were you going to thank me?
I was and I did.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
You just said you should.
I should be.
Yeah.
Here goes. Thank you.
Okay.
But funny story, before you guys called, I was going to kill myself. Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
And it's funny because I'm surprised to hear it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that really makes me laugh.
Because we were just saying the other day, you know what?
Paul's actually doing okay.
I don't think Paul is going to kill himself.
He's probably going to choose to keep living. And so the fact that we were saying that, and just the exact opposite was happening internally for you.
Oh, yeah. I had a length of hose running from my exhaust pipe inside my car.
Ooh.
And I was listening to NPR, and I was going to let it happen. I was just going to let it happen.
Wait.
Yeah, I was listening. Wait, don't tell me.
Yeah, that'll get you.
And you know what? For once, I was like, oh, I don't even have to play along this time because I'm going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone rang, and it was Engineer Cody. And he said, you have been summoned. You will be ushered into the presence.
Good. You know.
So thanks, guys.
He knows his lines. Well,
thank you, Cody. And just, I guess, before we sign off, you have a new show.
Yeah,
of course.
You should... Tell us about
Paul
that.
Paul Tompkins, Shut Up and Jam.
Shut Up and Jam, and people just get in jam out.
That's right.
Comedy and politics. And
dancing. Yeah. It's any form of jam, right, happens on my show. And there are people people are dunking. People are in space. People are, they're
spreading
putting preserves.
Toast,
all over the place. There's some canning. I feel like under the jamming rubric, some canning is allowed. I don't think anyone's going to fault us for that. There's no pickling. No pickling. No pickling.
And as well, there should not be.
But Fish is the house band.
Sure.
And we turn the lights on and they play. Turn the lights off, they stop. They're like a big parrot.
We're not allowed to talk about Fish on this one.
I do. Apologize.
Because of
they got a whole PCast.
Because they have
that.
The other one.
I forgot about the other PCast.
If we do it, Scott Ankerman will be like, hello, I noticed you guys were talking about Fish on your other podcast.
Scott Ankerman sends a pretty nasty
email. I thought I already had a podcast about that.
Yeah.
That's how we'll sort of say it.
I'm sorry. I hope this is not rude. I think it's Actorman.
Scott Actorman.
Scott Actorman. Yeah. That's right.
And we've gotten that before.
Yes, we will remember that.
Oh, great. Well, great to hear about that.
And that's on
Shut Up and Jam.
What network?
That's on. Is it Light? Fusion.
Fission.
Fission.
Is that right?
So check. Yes. So check the Fission. Is. Check the Fission network.
Ask your cable provider if you get Fission.
Yeah.
Any other big projects coming up you'd like to speak on?
I am very close to closing a deal to host the Oscars next year.
Oh, that's exactly what you should be doing right now,
right?
Paul.
So
I feel
good
like,
for you.
I feel
that's
like
really
it is
good
is
so
for you.
So good
Paul.
For you.
I feel like it
congratulations.
Is.
Congratulations.
Oh,
thank
my
God.
You.
That's
thank
exactly
you for
what you
that's
should
a logical
be doing.
Next step.
That's yeah. so good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that's that I'm waiting on is for someone to ask me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So good for you, though.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's
yes.
exactly what you thank should be doing. Can you believe? You. Can you believe we all were in Honolulu? Would you ever have thought we'd be sitting here? You know,
if
and
I
you're hosting the Oscars.
Just
we're drinking out of glasses instead of
it's,
half a coconut.
It's so crazy. Yeah. I still hold them from the underside.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
All the time. Yeah.
Ugh.
Rate us on iTunes.
Rate us on iTunes.
Buy
us on iTunes.
Buy the pro version.
Jump in the forums. Follow follow the footsteps of Octor Doctopus, this new guy. He's good.
He bought the pro version.
Buy the pro version.
Valerie.
Pro version perks this week.
Valerie Bryant brought the pro version, and she won an answering machine message recorded by Paul F. Tompkins. Congratulations, Valerie Bryant.
And
here's your prize.
Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Valerie. It's me, Paul F. Thompson. Listen, congratulations to you, and leave a message to the person who's calling you.
So she can use that. Nobody else try to use it. Nobody change
Nobody
Valerie
else
to
use
another
that.
Name, or you're not going to be able to listen to the podcast anymore, and I promise. And the other gift this week, if you buy it, is you get a clue to the location of Hayes' secret backpack, and everyone's itching to get their mitts on this.
Mm-hmm. It's a rebus.
It's a rebus, and if you can solve it, boy, oh boy, are you going to really be happy. Two free beers in it for
can
you
I give
and
a
bragging
little,
rights.
Can I give a little tease?
Mm.
The rebus involves itching and mitts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
That pretty much gives it away, unfortunately.
So we're going to come up with something else for the pro version.
It's in his scratchy mittens.
It's in his scratchy mittens.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Oh my God, you guys.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.